time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
Well, I actually think that a big reason for your success would be if you invest smartly. And I can tell you that my guest today can help you do that. His name is Michael Ervolini. He is with Cabot Research, but for the purposes of our discussion, he's the author of Managing Equity Portfolios, a behavioral approach to improving skills and investment processes. It's out now from the MIT Press. And before you think the MIT Press, wait, it's too academic for me, you should understand my first book was published by MIT Press. And when they do books that are good for consumers and investors, they're really good. It's a really smart publishing house. And I say that not just because they've worked with me, but because I've come to learn them over the years. If you want more information, CabotResearch.com will get you to information on Mike's firm and the book. If you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, you'll find links that will get you directly to the MIT Press page and other pages on the book. And by the way, you can follow MIT Press on Twitter at MIT Press. Mike Ervolini, welcome to Money Life.
Well, thank you, Chuck. It's a pleasure to join you.
I like this book because one of the things we talk about the most on this show is how investors basically blow themselves up. They make classic mistakes. I'm curious, as I was looking through the book, I would love for my audience to be able to avoid the mistakes. The problem is that human nature being the way it is, most people don't come to the conclusion, oh, this is what I should do, until they've made the mistakes. It's kind of like, hey, you don't realize how much you hate credit card debt until you ran some up and realized how much you hated paying it off. How can we get to a spot where folks understand, hey, let's factor my behavior in and manage a portfolio right?
Well, that's a great question, Chuck. And I guess maybe to start with, the thing that good investors do is they don't trust themselves. Here's why. What we now know from neuroscience is that more than 95% of the decisions we make every day, all of us, they happen automatically without any conscious thinking. And that's true for professional money managers that I work with, financial advisors, and individual investors. Once you recognize how daily decisions are made, you can't trust yourself. You have to invest in a process, one that always articulates your goals for investing, always articulates what you're looking for, and has a series of steps or checkpoints that you have to go through before you make a decision. That's what professional managers call an investment process. And even as individuals, we can use one. And what that will allow us to do is always make sure that our current thinking is aligned with our real intent and not just influenced by the flavor of the moment.
The idea that good investors understand that they don't trust themselves is amazing, because most people wind up having too much faith and confidence. It's sort of like, you know, if you ask people, hey, are you a good driver? 75% or 80% of people say they're an above average driver, which we know is impossible.
Right. We refer to that as the Lake Wobegon effect.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody is above average. And once you really have deep conversations with professionals, what they ascribe their success to is process. Sure, these people are smart, and they think a lot, and they read a lot, and they're always digging and digging. But it's their process that gives them the rhythm of persistence. Not every decision is good, but the second benefit of a process is you can go back and observe why your bad decisions were bad, and therefore tweak and improve your process. So process is key if you want success short-term and long-term. The alternative is you just hope to get lucky, and that's not a very good strategy.
Well, here you are, however, on my show, and you know, I'm in the media, which means that I am a professional overreactor. Now, that's not because I want to be. I try to be like the one voice that goes, you know, hey, really pay no attention to the Dow, which I've written about recently and said, you know, could we please just get away from that as a standard, etc. But you do have folks that want to react, and they're being touched by a media that is 24/7 and that is in the business of being professional overreactors. How do you get people to tune that out? Because on the one hand, yes, not peeking, not looking can be a great portfolio strategy until you happen to wake up someday in your future and you go, wait, what the heck happened to my money if you happen to have built it wrong?
Well, again, these are challenges that everyone faces. And assuming that we're going after individual stocks at this point, we're not looking at funds or passive investments. If you're investing in individual companies, stocks or bonds, it starts with knowing what it is you're trying to achieve and then having a short list of companies that you're following. Now, if a company you're following that you like suddenly gets in the news, then that could be a good thing. That could be just the motivation that you need to dig a little deeper and pull the trigger one way or the other, to buy or sell or add more. But if you're following a group of stocks and the news says a company that you know have no knowledge about is an exciting one, that's a warning sign. That's where your unconscious is saying, oh, wow, if I think about buying the stock, maybe it'll save me. Maybe it'll take my portfolio to the place I've always wanted it to go. When you have those hopeful aspirations, those are warning signs. Professionals know that's when you put the brakes on. People without a good process, they get lulled into thinking, that's an inspired thought. Maybe I should go deeper into that. And what all the research shows is that when you make hopeful investments, you generally get disappointing results.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter the market. Is that what we're saying?
No, you should be. The hope is that you can be disciplined. What you don't want to be is hopeful in the moment.
I can agree with that. The book does look at actual portfolio construction, at trying to put this all together. You're in the business, and this is a book that is written probably much more for professionals than it is for the folks who are in my audience who are trying to figure out how to do it with their 401k and their IRAs, et cetera.
Sure.
But how complicated does this need to be? You know, the fact that we've made great tools, does that mean that people actually have to use them? Or is it okay to build your house with a hammer and nails and leave the nail guns and the other stuff to somebody else?
That's an interesting discussion throughout the industry. The fact is most, even professional managers, are still classic bottom-up fundamental investors. They use some technology to help a little bit, but most of them make tough judgments. What allows them to make more judgments that are helpful than not helpful is, again, they learn from their past, they refine their processes, they improve their judgment. So whiz-bang technology is far from essential to be a good investor. The fundamentals that worked 30, 40, 50, 70 years ago still work today. The key is really being self-aware, knowing when your emotions are running away from you and when you're following your discipline in a dispassionate way.
One of the problems, I think, for a lot of investors, and especially even folks who listen to the show, is that here we are bringing them a lot of opinions. It's not just, hey, you know, be a growth investor, be a value investor, et cetera. There's a lot of things that sound good. How do you incorporate that without just kind of getting to where, hey, I'm doing what sounds good now and I'm doing what sounds good next, or I've got a portfolio where every move was smart at the time it was made, but, you know, through years of benign neglect or whatever, I wind up with a portfolio where everything's a fallen angel and I haven't done that well?
Well, there's a lot to managing a portfolio, and perhaps the first place to start is it merely an aspiration for you, or do you really want to do it? Some people, very, very smart, capable people, even professional investors, do not manage their own money because they realize it's not where their heart is. So the first thing is, why are you doing it, and is it something you really groove on? A place where you want to hone your skills, want to educate yourself constantly. If you pass that hurdle, then the second thing is, what is it you're good at? You may be really good at sporting good companies because you like sports. You may be really good at auto companies because you're really into cars, or whatever it is that naturally attracts you. You might think about focusing a lot of your energy on things where the research is as much fun as it is learning. But the toughest thing we've all done, whether it's in school or in profession, is learning something that completely doesn't interest us. That's not the way to construct a portfolio. So you can look to other people outside, third-party managers, to fill in your portfolio with things that you don't enjoy, and maybe you just focus on that handful of items that really make you excited, that really rock your world. That's part of portfolio management. It's just doing things that you like and avoiding what you don't.
Well, it's a great bit of advice here, and the book is really filled with solid stuff that's going to help you folks get over the mental hurdles that wind up becoming the problem. It's Managing Equity Portfolios, a Behavioral Approach to Improving Skills and Investment Processes. The new book out from Michael Ervolini. He is the Chief Executive Officer at Cabot Research here in Boston. It's CabotResearch.com. There's links on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page so that you can get direct to the book. Mike Ervolini, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Chuck. It was a pleasure.
Up next on the Monday edition of Money Life, well, we're headed for trouble. It's the danger zone. David Trainer from New Constructs in the house when Money Life continues right after this message.